Well, good afternoon, everyone. Good to see all your smiling faces here today. In the Gospel accounts, as well as a large segment of the New Testament in general, we find this concept of bearing fruit, of being fruitful. And fruit does start. It starts with the seed. So what I'd like us to do today is spend some time in the fourth chapter of Mark, where we're going to review several accounts regarding the seed. So let's turn to Mark 4, fourth chapter of Mark. And we'll start in verse 3, where we see the parable, a familiar one, the parable of the sower and the seed. It says, "Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And it happened as he sowed that some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds of the air came and devoured it. Some fell on stony grounds, where it did not have much earth, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew and choked it, and it yielded no crop. But other seed fell on good ground, and yielded a crop that sprang up, increased, and produced, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. Now let's skip down to verse 14, where we see where Christ interprets this parable. The sower sows the word. And these are the ones by the wayside where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word that was sown in their hearts. These likewise are the ones sown on stony ground, who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and they have no root in themselves, and so endure only for a time. Afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. Now these are the ones sown among thorns. These are the ones who hear the word, and the cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things entering in, choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. But these are the ones sown on good ground, those who hear the word, accept it, and bear fruit, some 30-fold, some 60, and some 100. So we can see that the seed is the word, and we may think of that as our Bible, and we all have a Bible here today. The soil is our relationship with God, and it's clearly looked upon as how it is reflected in our hearts, and how deep that goes. But we see in what we read here that the seed was never the problem, never was. The issue was always the soil receiving it. And you know, you think about your Bible, it's not like there's a bunch of different Bibles out there. I mean, there may be different translations and different versions, but there really is only one Bible out there. And I don't mean to make light of the fact that some translations may be more accurate than others. Certainly it's an important thing. But by and large, the key concepts that we need in our relationship with God is contained in the Bible. Everybody has a copy of that, anyone who wants one. The issue here was whether or not the soil is suitable for the seed to grow. We also read here that the seed is programmed to grow. The soil simply determines how much it grows. That's something important really to remember here. You know, God's not going to give us something so we can fail. He's going to give us something that works. Let's continue on verse 21 as we read the parable of the lamp. We'll read more about the seed in here too. Is a lamp brought to be put under a basket or under a bed? Is it not to be set on a lampstand? For there is nothing hidden which will not be revealed, nor has anything been kept secret, but that it should come to light. If anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Then he said to him, "Take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use, it will be measured to you. And to you who hear, more will be given. For whoever has, to him more will be given. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." The parable of the lamp shows that the result of growth will be plain to see. It's not going to be hidden. It's not going to be some secret thing. You might want to jot down Matthew 11:2-5. Matthew 11:2-5, and this is the account where John the Baptist was in prison, and he sent two disciples to inquire with Jesus whether or not he was the chosen one. And Jesus' reply is really fascinating. He says, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And Christ is saying, look at these objective things, these fruits that you can actually see. Now you think about, you know, when a field is planted, and we don't know immediately what will be produced. I mean, we went by a field and a farmer was just putting seed and he's covering it up. We don't know what's going to come up. Even when it starts sprouting, we may not know exactly what it is that's being produced. We may have a little bit of a clue, but we may not know until ultimately we see the actual fruit. And if you think about it from the standpoint of, say, a cornfield, I mean, when the corn is actually produced and you have an ear of corn, it's not like it's a gray area. Everybody knows it's an ear of corn, and it's obvious when the fruit is born. So again, it will produce something objective for people to see. We also see here that the seed, not only is it going to grow, but it's required that we grow it. And the more you grow, the more you get. But also, the admonition is contained in here that if we don't grow it, then we're not going to have it anymore. Very important to consider that. God is interested in growth. Let's continue in verse 26 with the parable of the growing seed. The kingdom of God is as a man who scattered seed on the ground, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow, yet he himself does not know how. For the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. And when we commit to the process of growing things, things will work out in ways that we really cannot even see or understand. And it's just like planting. Now, how many people here are gardeners? Maybe vegetable, flower? Okay, quite a few of you. Now, when you plant, do you stay up all night long with your flashlight on the ground looking to see the things sprout up? Any of you? If you do, you need professional help. Yeah. But you don't. And why don't you? Because if you prepare the soil right, you have the right nutrients in the soil, you put it in the right place for it to have the appropriate light, you give it the right amount of water, what's it going to do? It's going to grow. It's inevitable. It's programmed in that seed. You don't have to stand there and watch it. You don't even know how it is that it germinates. It's an actual miracle the way seeds work. But you don't have to be there. God just asks that you do your part. You prepare the soil. He takes care of the rest. And the miracle happens. You know, you think about God when he talks about providing rain in due season. You know, where does water flow? You know, water flows down the path of least resistance. It's where water goes. It's a really powerful analogy for all of us as we are looking to prepare our own soil for growth. Because that's where the water's going to go. So you don't want to resist God. Let's now continue in verse 30 as we look at the parable of the mustard seed. To what then shall we liken the kingdom of God? Or with what parable shall we picture it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when it's sown in the ground, is smaller than all the seeds on earth. But when it is sown, it grows up and becomes greater than all herbs, and shoots out large branches so that the birds of the air may nest under its shade. The seed grows and then becomes a support for other things. I was sharing some thoughts with my brother, and he was reflecting upon one of his daughters and her growing up, and he's kind of joking a bit because he remembers that when she was very young, he would have to really work hard with her to encourage her to even clean up a room. It took like an act of Congress to get her to clean her room. But in the course of time, she did it without being asked. And then later on, as he asked her to do things in the house, help with the family, this sort of thing, at first it took some encouragement. But over the course of time, she did it on her own. And then she looked to see what things were needed without being asked. And now that she's in her teens, he was very proud in saying how not only does she do that, she does that at the congregation level, and she also does that with her community. She seeks out ways in which to serve and to help. You know, we are like that, too, with the seed. You know, we start small. When we start our relationship with God, you know, we come to understand just how helpless we are. You know, when we first start, we go, God, how can you work with someone like me? I have so little. and to give. I need your help for everything. So we start very small, like the seed. But again, the seed is programmed to grow, and it's programmed to produce fruit. So when we start with no more tools than what it takes to survive and totally dependent, we develop, we grow, and we become a source of hope, of inspiration, of wisdom and understanding to others. Helpless, we, through this process of growth in our relationship with God, become helpers. The seed starts very small, but it grows, and ultimately it helps others. Brethren, let's all remember that the seed, by its design, is programmed for growth. And good fruit will be the inevitable result if the soil is right. And let us all ask God in prayer for growth, both individually and collectively. And let us pray that the seed may develop and multiply 30-fold, 60-fold, or perhaps 100-fold.